Hi. Welcome to episode 5 of Pod Culture Vulture. I am your host, Jeremy Ween. Thank you for downloading this episode. If you're not already subscribed to us, hopefully you will be by the end of this episode. This episode is chocked full of goodness. Wow, that sounded really cliche. But on this episode, you will be hearing a segment on the state of comic books by my friend Troy, who was nice enough to record his thoughts on that subject. You're also going to hear me tell you guys what I think about the current state of Broadway. And by Broadway, I mean musicals and theater, because I'm a theater kid, and I consider theater to fall under the umbrella of pop culture. Finally, I have an interview to play for you guys with the fantastically hilarious Kurt Braunohler. He's a New York comedian. You might not know who he is now, but you will very, very soon. I promise you that. And so let's get right into it, and let me play you what my friend Troy's thoughts on comic books are. Enjoy.
Hello and good evening. This is Troy Yingst, recording with Pod Culture Vulture. Again, my name is Troy. Some of you may or may not know me from My Life as Liz, but I'm going to be sitting down with you guys and talking a little bit about comic books. First of all, the main point I'd really like to bring up is crises, these major storylines that Marvel and DC are well known for. they'd happen every couple years, you know, every once in a while, but lately it's happening all year, every year. And I kind of have an issue with that. I have a problem with that. Not to say that the writing's bad or anything like that. I mean, I definitely read Civil War. I read Secret Invasion. I'm still reading Siege. And, of course, DC's Blackest Night and Brightest Day. My problem is it's too much for me at once. You have every single character on every single panel of every single page, basically. I mean, of course, not literally, but it's tiresome. I'm a little bit, I guess you could say I'm a little bit more old-fashioned in a sense that I like to read my storylines, you know, with one character, you know, one at a time. You know, I like reading, you know, what's Batman up to this week? You know, what's he going to be doing this week? But you don't get that, of course, because, well, they killed him, which I don't feel like was necessary, considering, I mean, if you're going to kill a character, keep him dead, or don't kill him at all. It's a tease, it's a pain in the ass. I mean, they killed and brought back, they're bringing back Batman in the same way that they brought back Captain America. You know, they weren't ever actually really dead, they were interdimensional time travel, I don't really know. To be honest with you, I didn't really read it because it's frustrating for me. I like reading my storylines one at a time. Of course, you know, Kevin Smith has recently come out with The Widening Gyre, which was a fantastic standalone story. And it's not canon with any of the Brightest Day or anything like that because it's just focusing on Batman. It's almost like a Legends of the Dark Knight type deal, where it's, you know, a new artist and a new writer tackling the character, which I've always been a fan of. Of course, to my dismay, Legend of the Dark Knight was discontinued a couple years back. But I digress. And again, I'm not knocking on the writing or the art of these crises, but my problem is, if you do it all year, every year, and you have a new one, just one after the other, what's shocking about that? You know, that's the question I want to ask. Like, what is shocking about it? If it's happening all the time, then you're only going to expect it to happen, and it's just going to become more and more predictable, which it has. You know, you have, like, you know, it was Batman RIP, you know, it was all good, and then Final Crisis was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. Great storyline. And it was followed up with, you know, Blackest Night, which is, again, it's good storytelling, and Brightest Day, which, I mean, I'm guilty of saying that I haven't made it that far because, you know, it's all happening so quickly. It's too much for me. I can't keep up with it. And World War Hulks? Like, really? I don't see the appeal of that, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not a Hulk fan. I have a, you know, pretty significant amount of Hulk comics. But I can't really care too much about World War Hulks, because I don't feel like that's a storyline I can follow. It's not interesting to me. I mean, like, how many Hulks do you need? I say one of each gender. That's been sufficient up until this point. You know, Green Hulk. There you go. Problem solved. And I'm sure that, you know, at the end of all this, that's probably how it's going to end up. Going to end up right where we started with two Hulks. We're going to end up right where we started with Bruce Wayne. You know, nothing's going to change. It's not shocking anymore. They need to be spaced out, and they need to take a little time. Give us a little time to breathe so that we can go back to our regular comic book collecting and, you know, just collect the, you know, standard storylines for a while until, oh, crap, you know, something big happens again. And, you know, that's what I really want to talk with you guys tonight, crises. But this has been Troy Yinks with Pod Culture Vulture. Tune in next week for your newest pod, and I hope you enjoyed it. Good evening.
So that was my friend Troy's opinion on the world of comic books at the moment. I thought it'd be cool to bring in someone else besides me, because I'm sure some of you might be getting tired of my voice. And I thank Troy for doing that for the show. I thought it would be cool and a nice change of pace. So again, thank you, Troy, for doing that for us. So let's move on to the next topic that I would like to discuss on this episode, and that is the current state of Broadway. So I love theater. Even though I live in Florida, I've been lucky enough to see about 20 or so Broadway productions in the last year, and I enjoy musicals more than plays, to be honest. And this is my feeling on what Broadway is starting to become, and it's starting to worry me a little bit, because unfortunately we're not getting, at least in the United States, as much original theater content as we were 10 or 20 years ago. And it just seems at this point that it's starting to become the trend that it's just something people are trying to make money with as opposed to statements with, which is kind of what's happened in the film industry, is what's starting to happen in theater, where you're seeing a lot more, instead of original works, you're seeing a lot more adaptations and revivals, which kind of takes away from it. I mean, for example, you know, they're coming out with a Spider-Man musical this season, and this musical has cost $60 million before it's even opened. And my feeling is, do we really need, like, a $60 million Spider-Man musical? And, I mean, I'm not trying to jump on the bandwagon of ripping on this show, because it has been pretty much been the punching bag of the last year in the theater community. But in all honesty, when you sit down, do we really need to have all that rehashed in another form? I mean, we've had at least 8 Spider-Man animated series. We've had 3 movies now that they're rebooting those to make more money. Do we really need this on stage? And, you know, we're also getting a lot of revivals. I know towards the beginning of this season, not so much, but I know next year we're getting a revival of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, which was a show that was only revived about 15 years ago with Matthew Broderick in the lead. But now Daniel Radcliffe is going to be playing the lead in that show. And I mean, the other problem with what Broadway's become is you can't launch a successful show without a name in the lead. And that's kind of troubling because of the fact that, you know, there's so many talented people that have yet to be discovered who are trying to bust their ass in New York to be in these parts, and they can't get them because all these producers are bringing in, you know, big Hollywood names to try and to bring in people into the theater. And I mean, if you look at the Tonys from last year, I mean, it's very apparent what I'm saying. I mean, the person, all the play categories were won by Hollywood actors. Scarlett Johansson won, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Denzel Washington, I think supporting actor went to an actual, like, theater actor. But that's kind of concerning when, you know, the theater industry is just hurting so much to the point where it's like they're very, very afraid to take they're afraid to take a chance on something original, which is why there's a show that just came onto Broadway called Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. And I am pushing this show to as many people as possible. I saw it earlier in the year off Broadway, and I mean, it's original, it's funny. There's not any huge name in it, and it's exactly what a Broadway show should be. It should entertain you, it should make you think, it should make you laugh, and it should have you walking out of the theater thinking, wow, look at what I just experienced, and have I been enriched for the better? Not something like The Addams Family, which was just awful. I mean, you know, and it's no offense towards anyone specifically, but it's just, you know, the Addams Family musical was done in such a way that it totally went against what the Addams Family should be. Very big sets, very big Broadway, jazz hands, you know, show tune numbers. It should have been a lot darker and a lot more intimate. And, you know, that show's making $1 million a week, which is sad because the only reason it's making $1 million a week is because it's a known property and because Nathan Lane and B.B. Newirth are in it. If they did that show and Nathan Lane and B.B. Newirth were not in that show, it would have closed a long time ago. And I guarantee you, because their contracts are up in March, that it will close shortly after. I will say that as of recently of this season, and the theater season usually runs, the Broadway theater season usually runs September through May. I've seen 3 productions so far. One was a revival, which was Miss Warren's Profession, which was terrible. And it wasn't terrible because of the performances. It was terrible because the story is so terribly outdated. The play is from 1893, I believe. It's by George Bernard Shaw. And it deals with prostitution and, you know, and whorehouses. And in the 1800s, this was a much bigger issue than it is today. So the show really didn't have an impact. Sherry Jones was the lead, and she was really good. Another show that I saw was a transfer from the West End. And if you notice now, here's 2 shows, neither of which are original to the Broadway stage. One's a revival and one's a transfer. But I saw a show called The Pittman Painters, which was really good. And it takes place in England, and it follows these miners who ended up becoming these big painters, pretty much. And I really like that. And then the third show that I saw was Brief Encounter, which, again, is both an adaptation and a transfer from England. It's not so much a play, and it's not so much a musical, but I really enjoyed it because it used a lot of multimedia, which I think a lot more Broadway shows need to start exploring. And, In summing up my feeling, I really wish we could have more original pieces on Broadway, and I really wish we were able to, in the industry at this point, give a lot of more unknown people, like, their breaks. But unfortunately, because people aren't willing to pay $140 to see Johnny No Name, you know, that's not happening as much. But that's my opinion on Broadway at the moment, so I, you know, take my opinion as you want, or you can leave it as it is. So, finally, I want to play a interview that I did with Kurt Bronneler for you guys. He's extremely nice. He's very funny. His comedy partner's Christian Schall, who you know from Fly of the Conchords. They just did a pilot over in England, and they also do a variety show in Brooklyn, and you'll hear more about that in the interview. And so here's my interview with Mr. Kurt Bronneler. Enjoy. I'm sitting here with a tall gentleman. You might not know him yet, but you very soon will know him. His name is Kurt Bronneler. And how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
And just wanted to say I just saw your show Hot Tub at Little Field in Brooklyn, and it's on Monday nights for people who want to check it out. Gotta say, really great show.
Thank you.
And he also hosts it with Christian Schaal, who you might know from Fly of the Conchords. He wasn't here tonight, though, but for very good reason. And yeah. Would you like to tell the people what that is?
Oh, she's on a mountaintop drinking wine, coming up with the newest approach to comedy.
So, yeah, yes.
She's really hammered right now. No.
So,
but she's close. She's close to, like, a breakthrough in comedy.
She's right there.
Yeah, she's right
she's
on the
almost
edge.
At the peak,
yeah,
should we
she's
say.
She's almost at the peak, yeah.
But for those of you who are in New York, definitely come check that out. Just wanted to plug your show really quickly.
Cool.
Although, what I wanted to know was, where, how did you guys decide to, you want to do, like, a showcase, like?
Oh, Hot Tub has actually existed since 2005 when Kristen and I started doing it, and that's how Kristen and I started working together.
What gave you guys the idea to, like, just do your own show?
What gave us the idea, Eugene Merman?
Like,
well, great question. You want to know the specific story? Was it was at the Pit, and I had asked the artistic director of the Pit. I was like, I want to do a variety show, and he was like, you know, Kristen just asked me to do a variety show, and I had seen her perform. And literally, I just walked backstage, and I was like, hey, do you want to do a variety show together? And we'd never hung out. We had never performed together. We'd never written together. And she was like, yes. And then we just started writing together, and it just happened to work out that we worked really well together. And then we ran Hot Tub for 2 years. It was weekly for 2 years there. And then we did it for, like, a year in other places around the city. And then we just brought it back after a two-year hiatus, and this is our fourth show.
Wow. That's really fascinating that you guys, it all pretty much just was a random occurrence, and you guys just clicked, and
yeah,
have been working ever since. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it was inevitable.
It was inevitable. Are you leaving, Eugene?
No.
All right, stick around.
Oh. Eugene Merman, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'm not leaving. That's a creepy
baby. There's some, what Eugene just referenced is there's a little baby, and before it was sitting on a ventriloquist, because we had a ventriloquist on the show, and it's the most disturbing combination, like an old borscht belt ventriloquist with, like, this very creepy baby sitting in its lap.
I'm sorry, I'm just recovering from the interview's cameo appearance by Eugene Merman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so you and Christian Schaal have been working together for a while, and one of the projects I know you two worked on a lot that's a lot more prominent than anything is Penelope, Princess of Pets, which was originally a web series for Super Deluxe in 2007, I believe that's correct. Where did the idea come from that and the process?
That was, we were, Super Deluxe was like approaching New York comedians and asking them to make web series, and out of Hot Tub they had approached Kristen and I, and they wanted to make a web series with us, and we had kind of pitched them a few ideas, and they were like, yeah, maybe, maybe, maybe. And then they basically said to us, like, all right, just pitch the show that you want to make, and we'll just do it. And Kristen and I had this idea for a movie a long time ago about a girl who could talk to animals who has to kill a senator in order to save the world. And we're like, that could work. And so we just, like, kind of, like, said, it's about a girl who could talk to animals and she has to kill this senator. And they said yes, which was probably crazy on their part. They were like, okay. And they didn't really understand it. And then we made them, and it happened to work out really well. And it clicked, and we made 3 first, and then they ordered 12 more. And then we ended up making 6 more, including one was a music video for the New Pornographers, which was really fun. And then we never got to make the other 6 because they failed as a business.
Yeah,
because
they ended up getting, they got acquired, I believe, by Adult Swim, and then they kind of folded, I think.
Yeah, yeah, they were always, it was always Turner, so it was always the people who owned Adult Swim, and then it got folded into AdultSwim.com. And the good thing about it was that they didn't, AdultSwim.com didn't take any of our episodes, but
so you guys still have the rights.
We owned everything, so we sold a few episodes to the BBC for just, like, air on the BBC, and then we had a presence in Edinburgh. We, like, performed in Edinburgh, and we did some shows on Channel 4 and the BBC out there in London, and a producer out there saw us and really wanted to make it into a TV show, and we actually got to make a pilot for Penelope, a 30-minute pilot for Channel 4.
That's what I was at. That's what my next question was going to
Look,
be about.
Look, I'm reading your fucking mind.
Oh,
dude.
My God, I knew that you were amazing for a reason,
exactly.
But I just didn't know why.
Surprise, surprise.
But, so you guys, it's for BBC, it's for Channel 4.
So, actually, it's for Channel 4, not
Channel
BBC 4.
Oh, okay. They're,
yeah,
okay.
They're separate, but
they're
like,
separate entities, but it's the same. It's
on
British television.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some slight changes, obviously, because of, you know, it's not set in America, so I believe it's not a senator anymore. It's a
member of parliament.
Played by
Julian Barrett
from the Mighty Boosh.
Exactly.
And There's also one other slight little difference that people are making a big, like, hubbub about from the translation from the web series to the TV series is the number of hours that Penelope has to kill Prime Minister. And it's the stupidest little thing, but I gotta know why, like, of all the little things to change, why did you guys decide change that?
That was, I think the original was like 5,769, and it got changed to 3,769 or something like that, because we had to redo the open, like we had to recut the open, but they liked the open that we had created, and so they were doing the graphics, and it was our producer who was insisting that that was the number, and I was like, that doesn't sound right, that doesn't sound right, and Chris and I were like, we thought the number was funnier, and then there was this discussion of like, what number is funnier? And then we're like, okay, 3,769 is a pretty funny number. And then we, like, went with it. And then it turned out later that it was like, oh, I mean, I wasn't even sure if it's different. Is it different?
Yes, it is. It's only by 10 hours, though.
Oh, it's only by 10 hours.
It's not, like, a huge thing.
Oh, 3,769 as opposed to 3,759 or something like
that. Yeah, and it's not, like, a huge difference. And so it's, like, you go online and you'll see people talking about it. It's, like, drives people nuts because it's the littlest change and no one knows why.
I had no idea. It was literally just, like, because the fact that we had to, like, reshoot the opening, that it just got changed, and it kind of, like, just... Yeah, actually, no. The reason is because of the time difference in Britain and here. It's a six-hour time difference, but the members of Parliament there also wake up 4 hours earlier than they do here. So they just work harder over there. So that's the reason.
Is that just the reason you came up with in your mind just now, or...
No.
You'll never tell.
Nope.
So you guys did the pilot for Channel 4, and I think I heard that you guys got picked up for series, or...
No, we did not get picked up for series. We're trying to sell it now. We're still trying to see if Channel 4... Channel 4 hasn't said no, and then we're trying to sell it to... MTV is interested right now, but who knows if that's going to move forward or not. We haven't heard a no or a yes from them.
Well, if what I'm seeing recently is any indication, they're moving more back towards scripted programming, which is... amazing thing to see, considering everyone thought that channel was going to explode into a mess of reality havoc.
Yeah.
But, I was going to ask, though, is there any possibility that the pilot might be available in the U.S. at some point anywhere?
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. It's like right now you can't view it online unless you're in the
England.
U.K. But, you know, if someone was to happen to, like, you know, IP that was outside of the country and then upload it here, then people would be able to see it. But of course, I would never do that because that's illegal and I don't do illegal things. But if someone wanted to do that...
Hey, you guys heard that. So go do Kurt's bidding.
What? No, I didn't request that at all.
I do just really want to say quickly, Reggie Watts doing the theme, just
it's a great
brilliant.
Song. Absolutely fantastic.
He's a great performer. I've yet to see him live, which
kills
me. Well,
he's doing Hot Tub in 2 weeks.
I keep missing him every time I come to town, and I ask him every time on Facebook. I'm like, Reggie, are you performing from here to here? He's like, no, why? I'm like, can't ever get the schedule to man. But I wanted to next move on to talking to you about, if people have been on YouTube within the past couple of months, they might have seen you as the MC of the Hardee's, what was it, Star Telethon, whatever the official name of that was.
I don't know. That was a weird thing. Yeah, that was my friend Matt asked me to do that, and he and I used to work together doing this thing called Chunk and Chengwin. And there was like this street riot performance art thing like back in the early 2000s where like Chengwin's 8 feet tall, he's half chicken, half penguin, and he shoots eggs out of his ass, and Chunk is half chicken, half skunk, and he's his evil half-brother, and he's 9 feet tall, shoots water out of his tail, and we would have these big battles in the middle of the street, and, like, hundreds of people would come, and it kind of built to this thing, and to a point where, like, we would have, like, we blocked, like, Broadway for, like, half a mile with, like, 1,000 people all in a parade with a marching band and everything, and everybody had we played a game of, like, football in the middle of the street with a giant 8-foot egg and human goalposts and everything. And so we used to do this, like, performance art back in the day. And then he works for this ad agency, and he was like, can you come and do this bit for us? I was just, like, a host of this very weird telethon for Hardee's and Carl's Jr. And I was like, yeah. So we shot it in 2 days in L.A., and I just improvised the whole thing. And it turned out very weird. There's rumor that they might cut it together into an actual half hour and air it on Adult Swim, like, late at night for the infomercial area, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
It is really weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And I don't understand half of it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't
doesn't really make sense.
Piece together.
And that's perfect. Like, that's Matt's sensibility in a way.
It's just supposed to be that very absurd kind of, yeah. Like, it's not what you would consider what a telethon should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was really, and you guys, like, had prime space. Like, you guys were on the front page, like, for days at a time.
Yeah.
So, good exposure, at least, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? The other thing I really wanted to talk to you about, I mean, it's not really career-oriented, but I just found it really fascinating, because I follow you on Twitter, I'm friends with you on Facebook, mm-hmm. and you actually decided to walk the entire island of Manhattan, the entire distance of Broadway.
Yeah.
What was the idea behind that, or...?
Well, we walked the entire length of Broadway in New York City, so we started actually up in Yonkers, and walked 20 miles down to the bottom tip of Manhattan. It took from 8 a.m. to like 2:30 in the morning. And that was with a friend of mine, Calvin, and he was getting married, so it was his bachelor party. But Calvin and Scott and I, three friends, we used to run this program or project called Psychogeography, where essentially we would go out and kind of like take people into the city and just like spend time in the city. And it was always under weird stresses so that you could kind of experience the city in new ways. Like, we used to do a 24-hour road trip where we'd have to do 24 hours in the city. We stay awake, we have to go all five boroughs, and we're walking the whole time. Or the urban disorientation game, where we would blindfold groups of people, put them in a van, take their wallets and cell phones, and then drive them to a place they'd never been, unblindfold them, and then they had, as a group, had to figure out where they were and then make their way back. And so we've done a lot of these projects, and so for his bachelor party, he decided he wanted to walk the length of Broadway. So we started walking at 8 a.m. We didn't start drinking until 2:30 p.m. but then that was 12 hours of drinking and walking. But it's a 20-mile walk, and so it was pretty intense. It was very cool.
What were some of the more interesting things you saw?
More interesting things two things. One, when we got to Times Square, it was like 10 p.m. Everybody's hammered, but we've been walking this whole time. We're energized. We get to Times Square. It's filled with people. And we had a poem, written by Walt Whitman,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about Broadway. And so we took like four or five stanzas, and then there's these set of steps above the TKTS mm-hmm. building in Times Square where everybody sits, and it was a Saturday night, so it was packed, like 250 hey. People.
I've seen this.
There.
I saw the video, by the way, so yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I just announced to everybody, I was like, this is my friend, it's Calvin, it's his bachelor party, we've been walking the entire length of Broadway. And he's now going to read this poem by Whitman about Broadway and about New York City. And he read this poem, and then everybody, as he finished it, everybody just fucking goes crazy and cheers. There's all these tourists. And then his, like, fiancé runs out of the crowd, and they start making out. And it was just awesome. And then the second awesome part was we finished the walk at the southernmost tip of Manhattan, right where the East River meets the Hudson. And it's 2:30 in the morning, and we jumped in and went swimming at the end. And then that was a part where Calvin jumped. He's like, after I jumped, because I'm the person who always goes swimming at the end of our walks. And I've been swimming in the Schuylkill in Philly. I've been swimming in the Thames in London, in the East River, like all disgusting waters. And so I jumped in, and Calvin was like, is it cool? Can I jump in? I was like, I think so. Come on in. He jumps in. I get out easily. And then Calvin couldn't get out. And it was like that panic. And I'm totally naked underneath a dock, like at the lower tip of Manhattan, like trying to pull him up out of the water. Finally, we get him. We pull him. We drag him over all these barnacles. He has scrapes still all down the side of his body. Even at his wedding, he had them. But yeah, it was a pretty awesome night.
Would you say that that's something, like, every New Yorker should have an experience like that?
Oh, like, the New York City is, like, I just, you know, the reason I love New York is that every week I do something I've never done before, and I've lived here for 12 years now. And it's like, this city is like a paper origami thing. If you're trying to unfold it, like, you're constantly unfolding and finding different pockets where you thought it was just a fold. All of a sudden you open it up, and there's, like, three different areas there. Like, I just moved to an area that I'd never even heard of before called Ditmas Park in Brooklyn, and it's amazing. You know, it's just like, this is a totally new experience for me, and I've lived in Brooklyn for 12 years. And just like a place that was a few blocks away from where I used to live, and it's a totally new neighborhood with this really awesome culture that's going on. Yeah, I love New York.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it, Kurt. Is there anything else you'd really like to say to the people listening? Or?
No, but thank you.
You can see Kurt Brownler and Christian Shaw do Hot Tub every Monday at 8 o'clock in Littlefield in Brooklyn. And also keep an eye out for any developments with Penelope, Princess of Pets. Thank you so much, Kurt, taking the time to talk to me.
Cool, thanks.
That's going to do it for this episode of Pod Culture Vulture. I'd like to say thank you again to Mr. Kurt Bronneler. And I would like to congratulate him on winning Best Non-Scripted Host at the New York Television Festival. I think that's what it was. New York TV Festival, either or. For his pilot, Pointless, which I've only seen 30 seconds of it, and I really want to see more of it. And I hope that maybe Comedy Central will actually turn it into a series. Crossing fingers. And I would also like to say thank you to my friend Troy for recording his thoughts on comic books. I appreciated it. And I do intend on having him back in future episodes. So welcome to the team, Troy. And you can find us on Twitter. We are at P Culture Vulture. That is P Culture Vulture. You can now also like us on Facebook. Just search Pod Culture Vulture and click like. And you can find us online. We are podculturevulture.blogspot.com. And if you're listening to this episode on the blog, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just go to the podcast section in the iTunes store, search Pod Culture Vulture, and you can subscribe so you can automatically have future episodes downloaded into your iTunes. Until next time, my name is Jeremy Ween, and have a great time.